So good morning to our listeners all around the world. My name is Sachin Arma. I'm here at Adishtana once again, doing a follow-up interview with Sada Loca about the recent college meeting. So the college meeting finished on the 17th of November. We've had a bit of time to process various of the things that were discussed there. So I've got Sada Loca with me this morning, who's chair of the college. We're just going to talk about one or two of the things that came up during the college meeting. So one of the first things we did was we had Sada and Andy come along, who's chair of Adishtana, do a little presentation to the college. So do you want to say a little bit about that, Sada Loca?
It was Sada and Andy's doing a really remarkable job as chair of Adishtana. It's quite a project, quite a big place, lots going on, lots to think about. And part of the Sadalandi's job is looking towards the future and talking with the college about what Adishtana wants, what we want Adishtana to be. I think it's already become a real focus for the order and movement, with Bhante living here, with conventions being held here, big gatherings held here, lots of retreats, seminars, meetings. But we really need to think very carefully and fully about how we best can use what we have in Adishtana, which is a wonderful resource. And that means over the next years, Sadanandi is going to be piloting all sorts of discussions, really trying to decide very clearly where we're going with Adishtana over the next 10, 20 years. And the big implication here is, what does that involve in the way of new buildings? You know, a new shrine room, more accommodation. What's Adishtana going to look like if it's going to do the job we want it to do? So a lot to think about and talk about. Yeah. And Sadanandi was just both sounding us out and telling us how she's hoping to take this whole project forward.
So it may just be worth saying that Adishtana is actually owned by the Tree Ratna Preceptors College Trust, isn't it? So it is it's owned effectively by the college, and the college has a strong influence on what goes on here at Adishtana. And
So yes, the it is Bhante's home.
Yeah.
And it is, after Bhante's death, going to be very much the home of the college and a real focus for the whole order and movement, as it is already becoming very much.
So, and her work, she's starting with this SWOT analysis, isn't she? Her strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, just of what's going on here at the moment, and then wants to look at the story of what we want from Adishtana, and then there's a whole implementation of raising of funds and how we go about those buildings and getting architects in, and it's a sort of general strategy over the coming few years.
So as I said, a lot of thinking, a lot of talking, a lot of planning.
Great. So one of the other things that came up after that was there was some discussion about the future and development of the college. So again, can you say a few things about that discussion?
Again, this has been an ongoing theme over the last few meetings. The college is growing. There's been new members at every one of the last six or so meetings, I think, sometimes even three. Amogha Ratna joined us at this meeting. We heard his life story, welcomed him to the college. He's based in Berlin. We're going to be welcoming Ratna Shiel from India next time, and so it goes on. So the college is growing, and also quite a number of members of the college now are, if you like, the founding generation, and they're going to be moving on out of the college in the next 10 years. So we really have to be thinking at, how do we bring in another generation? How do we train them up? How do we hand on? And also, what will the role of the elders be? You know, those who've played a part through the whole history of the movement and who maybe whilst getting older still want to contribute in whatever way they can, as long as they can. One of the things we're looking to do is develop something of a sort of executive leadership group within the college that can handle a lot of the more everyday decision making and business, so we don't all have to talk about everything. So this is already in motion, and we want to strengthen this tendency over the next while, so that when we do meet as a college, we can really look much more at what we are, what we want to be doing in principle, rather than having to look at the detail of things. We do have some meetings at the very start in our coolers. There's two men's coolers, two women's coolers, an Indian cooler. And there we do a lot of the, if you like, more nuts and bolts work of the college in terms of looking at new private preceptors, looking at new public preceptors, looking at ordination requests, you know, the obvious ordination work.
Yeah.
And then over the rest of the meeting, it is much more the...
Well, there's the 2 days of study as well, isn't there?
That's right. Yeah.
So Subuti led some study on the bodhicitta this time around, didn't
he? Yeah. Yeah. So we usually have some study days, often led by Subuti. And we maybe have more of that sort of thing and looking at, well, like the bodhicitta and... What does that, how do we more effectively make our order and movement a vehicle for the bodhicitta? Yeah. And discussions around insight and the various understandings of insight and its place in the whole pattern of the spiritual life and so on.
I mean, one of the things about that older generation of the college, like you say, there are very strong friendships there, aren't there? The people who've known each other for 40 years, often lived and worked closely together. That seems to be one of the issues for the future of the college, isn't it? It's making sure there are still strong personal connections amongst newer people coming into the college, isn't it? I know that's a concern of the college.
Yeah, and looking at ways in which we can help build those connections, across the world as well, across the order and movement, through institutions like the International Council, but also through other gatherings and courses. The recent Women's Order course here, I think, at Adistana was very successful in that way, bringing women together from all around the world. And I think the courses for young people and order courses that we run here at Adistana are a very valuable part of that. And that certainly ties in with our whole way we look at Adistana in the future as a place where we can be creating those connections across the order, across the world, that will enable us to maintain a real spiritual unity that's based on real living personal connections.
So that, in a way, that leads nicely into the next topic, which was India, wasn't it? So we did have Yashasaga, Amoghasiddhi, Adichabodhi and Mahasuri, four of the Indian public bishops, plus Karunamaya and Savuti here, who work out in India very closely with them. So they gave a presentation, and then they brought things to the college meeting. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Well, one of the things we try to do now is, at each college meeting, dedicate at least one significant session to India. The order in India is somewhere between a third and a quarter of the whole order, and there are now some very impressive men and women coming forward in the order in India, and it's very good to really see them taking their place more and more fully in the college, and really clearly having a very good contribution to make, significant things to say. And just as a background to this, in India itself, the appreciation of Dr. Ambedkar seems to have been growing very, very greatly in the last years.
It's getting outside of the Dalit community, isn't it? So a much wider appreciation.
Yeah, very much so. You know, you even had the Prime Minister garlanding a picture of Dr. Ambedkar. I think he is now recognised more and more as one of the great Indian statesmen, indeed world statesmen of the 20th century, and more recognition outside of India as well. So there's Dr. Ambedkar becoming more and more appreciated and well known, his significance really being looked at, studied even academically and so on. And then also there's a whole new generation of Dalits, the young people from the Dalit background who are now educated and very, very determined to make changes. So it's a very different world they're working with now in India. And part of what we heard was how they're having to really think again. You know, the original generation were often people who were coming from very difficult backgrounds, really struggling to find a better place in the world. But now things have moved on. Their children are often well educated. So yes, there is this whole new generation, very internet savvy and so on, who want to do things a bit differently. And how does the order respond to them? How do we respond to them and meet them?
So there was discussion of that, wasn't there, of how to make the teaching at Sri Ratna Centres in India more relevant and attractive and appealing to that younger generation, and possibly even the using of TV stations and things like that to communicate the message more fully.
There is a Buddhist television station in India, Lord Buddha TV, which our order members are regularly appearing on and giving talks on, and they'd actually be very keen to work with us to develop a whole series of programs about basic Buddhism, Buddhist teaching.
It's quite a big opportunity in a way, isn't it?
It is, and I think it could be very, very effective in India as well. But again, it needs people, it needs money and resources, but it certainly seems like something we really need to be looking at. And this is part of what we were hearing from the Indian preceptors, the changing face of India.
But it's also true that the situation in India does sort of shed light back on our situation in the West as well, doesn't it? It sort of highlights some tendencies towards individualism and things like that.
Yeah, I guess that is one of the things. As people become better off in India, they can also become, at least in more settled in their ways, more looking for comfort, losing some of the earlier fire and determination to change things. And we do have a very comfortable life here. And the spiritual life all too easily becomes the icing on the cake of a very nice life. And that's a tendency that they can see. They were telling us, among some at least in India, and something they really have to work to really maintain that sense of the urgency and importance of continuing to work for the Dharma and spread the Dharma.
Okay, so one of another presentation that we had during the college meeting, we had Manisha come. So Manisha she's the liaison office work, isn't it?
She's actually now focusing, I think, on the safeguarding work.
Right.
And she's been doing a remarkable job, actually, since that television programme and with various things appearing on the internet. She's been doing a very, very good job in patiently working with the whole situation, looking at what we need to do, how we can best respond. And we had discussions with her about the sort of whole issues of anti and sex and so on, and how we look at that. And one of the things that came out of the discussion actually with her was a new forum on the Buddhist Centre online where all the members can actually tell their stories. So that,
just on a personal level, was it?
Just on a very much on a personal level, because you know, there's so much being said, and you know, it has to be said. Some of it, obviously, very much from a very particular point of view, and you know, it's only one side, a very complex story, and it's very difficult, you know, to find the story. Probably the story doesn't exist, but I think it would probably help if we could just hear other stories, you know, people who were around in those earlier days, you know, what it was like for them, just to build up a more rounded picture of the times and all that went on.
And then perhaps just to conclude, there was a Karma Shila wrote a paper for the college, didn't he, on this issue of what he calls deep practice, practice in seclusion, either on retreat, longer retreat, solitary retreat, that whole area. And that was quite an interesting discussion, wasn't it?
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time on that theme and looking at how we can help support, make possible for people to go on longer meditation retreats, with time for really deep meditation and reflection, and receiving the support, guidance, whatever they might need to be able to do that. And both Karma Shila and Satyaraja are very interested in this area and developing that. Both of them have done longer retreats and want to do more.
And Karen Meyer also talked about, you know, they're trying to establish a women's retreat centre in India, aren't they? She's very keen to get a women's community running a retreat centre where that kind of practice can also go on in India, isn't it?
Yeah, so really looking at how we can create the possibilities and facilities for more people. You know, those who really want to feel the urge and need to spend more time in deeper meditation and contemplation.
I mean, one of the things I was struck by in that discussion was that, yeah, in a way it's a withdrawing from the karma loka. That's what that deeper practice gives one the opportunity for. And one, somebody said, well, in a way that was something Bhante used to bring, was this sense of kind of otherworldliness, you know, even though he was engaged with trying to create the movement, you know, very busy in a hands-on way, he always had a perspective that wasn't immersed in the world of the senses and karmaloka experience. So it's sort of, the discussion seemed to highlight that need. We need to not get lost in the world of the senses, as it were, and the demands of that.
Yeah, and well, there's, you know, so many distractions in our modern world, and you know, many of us are just very bound up with the work of running the order and movement and meetings and so on. And yeah, we all try and get on retreat as often as possible, but I think many of us can feel we could benefit from longer periods. And certainly for those who have that strong wish, you know, it would be very good to see it as just another very well supported and recognised current in our collective order practice.
Great, well, thanks very much for coming and sharing some of your thoughts on those matters, Sadhloka. The next college meeting's in March, and it'll be upon us before too long, so no doubt be interviewing you again, seeing how some of these topics are moving on. But thanks very much.